intended to touch our hearts and to teach us a lesson. It is a true story about a man named Desmond Doss from Virginia. And what you see actually happened. And the cut of the clip was designed for churches, and there was a specific church that is listed on this that designed it, but it is out of a movie. And it is about a man who asked God, "What do you want from me?" This is where we all are this morning. And I'd like, if you would, to let this begin to speak to you. Let God speak to you this morning in the midst of this video right now, if you would. This particular, you probably couldn't hear it. He couldn't get the sound to come through the speakers. It was only coming out of the computer. So I want you to understand what he was saying. He started off the beginning by saying, what do you want? What do you want of me, God? What do you want? And God, then he heard people crying, help me, help me. And so he looked back up at God and he said, okay, I get it. And he runs back into the battlefield and he starts pulling men out, grabbing men and lifting them, wrapping them in a rope, lowering them down. He was the only man up there. All the rest of his squad had left. And he kept saying over and over again, give me one more. He was up there 9 hours by himself, lowering men from the battlefield. And he kept saying, give me one more, give me one more. Lord, just give me one more. And he'd lower a man and then he'd go back. And he said, Lord, just give me one more. During those 9 hours, he lifted 75 men from the top of that, and all 75 survived. They had been left for dead. We live in a world where there are people that are seemingly left for dead all around us. God help us if the church leaves them for dead. The church is the lifeline. If you as a Christian sit there sometimes and say, so God, what do you want of me? What do you want? God, just tell me what you want. If you listen close enough, you will hear your neighbors. You will hear your friends. You will hear your co-workers saying, help me. Help me. They're all around us. I'd like to read, if you would, with me, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. God has given us a call. If we sit down and we say, so God, what do you want me to do? I need to know what you want me to do. Go ye therefore and make disciples. But God, you know, I'm this type of person, and I got this type of personality. Go ye therefore and make disciples. God, I work 24 hours a day, and I don't have much time. Go ye therefore and make disciples. But God, what do you want me to do? Go ye therefore and make disciples. We have the greatest gift known to man. It's the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. But it is not a gift to be lavished on ourselves only. It is to be shared. No, it is not. It is commanded to be shared. No, we are to beg God for the right and the opportunity to share this gift. Just give me one more. Would that there would be a group of Christians who, instead of God having to beg them to go out, they would beg God, God, just give me one more. One more person to witness to. One more person to be with. One more person to minister to. Just give me one more. But God, there's bombs blowing up there. Go. But God, I could be killed. Go. But God, I'm afraid. Go. After the battle, this battle, Desmond was asked, were you not afraid? He said, I was scared to death. Sometimes, for some reason, we think that there are some people that go out and share the gospel or try to reach people that don't have some fear that grips them. I remember the first time I went on stage as an actor, and I stood there, and as I stood there, I didn't know what I was doing. It was my first time. And I came off, and somebody said, "You did great. Weren't you scared?" And I said, "I was scared, slam silly, but you didn't act like it." But it was what I had to do. And I let my confidence in my director, who said, "You're going to do a good job," carry me. You see, we are called to go, and we don't stand on our ability. We stand on Christ Jesus our Lord. What keeps us most of the time from doing what God wants us to do is fear. You've heard it said, you can make time to do whatever you want to do. Anybody ever heard that? If you hadn't, it's true. And you can find something to do whenever you don't want to do something. I don't have any time to do that. But what keeps us from doing what we're so called to do? It's always fear. The opposite of fear is faith. Faith is releasing and setting free. Fear is paralyzing and crippling to our witness. John 8:31. By the way, I'm going to have a lot of scripture this morning because this is what God says, not me. John 8:31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." The crippling fear that many Christians have, some don't have crippling fear, they just have haunting fear when it comes to reaching people for Jesus. They have fear that comes and God says, "I can set you free." And how are we set free? By the Word of God. The Word of God has promises within it. "I will always be with you." And these promises are what sets us free from the fear that seems to drag us down. We're either following the leadership of God through Jesus in the Holy Spirit's power and visible testimony to those around us, or we're cowering in fear. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, just following the Gospel of John. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth." The first thing, I want to look at this fear for just a minute, because if you think I'm standing here before you and I've conquered all the fear there is to doing the things God's called me to do, you're wrong. As a matter of fact, there's always the fear, if I'm a minister, that they don't like ministers. But that's what I am. God's called me to this. But I understand God is with me, and I have to keep reading God's word and his promises to defy the fear that seems to creep in. I got three things I want to say about fear. Number one, for a Christian, fear is a lie. Hear me. Fear is a lie. God has given us his promises. If we do trust them, then we are trusting not in, if we're not trusting it, then we're trusting the lies of Satan. To trust God is not to trust what we're hearing, what Satan's trying to tell us, which is why we fear. The only reason we fear is because we trust in ourselves and we hear these things. You can't do this. You're going to have this happen. I've seen people like this, and Satan always pulls up some image to try to scare us. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will become my witnesses. Satan lies and says, you can't witness. You're not prepared to witness. You will make a mess of it. It would be better you just kept your mouth shut because you won't be any good at it. That's fear-mongering within us. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who builds his house on a rock, for it will stand. So the second thing I want to say is not only is fear alive, Satan, but fear is an idol. Have you ever thought that your fear is an idol? I hadn't till I was studying and looking in the scriptures and hearing one pastor say fear is an idol. Why? Anything you put in front of God and trusting God is an idol. And some people walk around in fear their whole life. Is there anybody in here that walks around, listen to me, walks around and most of the decisions you make is out of fear? You see, fear is the antidote to God's graciousness. But the Word of God can transform you into a mighty vessel. So what should we do and how should we do that? I want to talk with you just a minute about idolatry. Idolatry is a sin. What is one of the commandments? Thou shalt not put any other gods in front of me, right? Idolatry is a sin. So if I believe the fear, if I trust in fear, if I stand in fear, I am standing in an idolatry. I'm putting that ahead of God. We got too many scared Christians. You heard the term scared as rabbits? Timid. We're called to be bold, not timid. But we are only strong in His Word. Exodus 20, chapter 3 says, you shall have no other gods before me. That's the commandment. The third thing I want to say is not only is fear a sin, not only is fear a lie, not only is fear an idol, but the third one is fear is unbelief. And what I mean by that, fear contradicts God. God says, I will be with you. And Satan comes along and says, you're all by yourself. Everybody that you work with are not Christians and they're not going to say anything. You're all by yourself. Keep your mouth shut. You are doomed if you open your mouth. That's a lie of Satan and it is unbelief to believe that. To be fearful in the face of battle is to cower and become miserable in your Christian walk too. If I had to say anything about most Christians is they are, fear dominates them in so much of their life, especially when it comes to their own personal testimony or their own witness to the world around them. And I'm not talking about standing in the middle of your in coffee room at work and standing on the table and preaching. That's not, I'm just talking about being willing to say I'm a Christian. You know, there are some Christians that are scared to death to say I'm a Christian. And by the way, if you sit there and think, well, you're a pastor, you run in Christian circles, and you were at a Christian school where you ran in Christian circles. Yeah, that's why I took up Ubering. Everybody I have in that car is needs Jesus. Let me just put it that way. Especially when I go to Duke or UNC. especially after the ball game last night. There's a lot of there's a lot of people need Jesus today. But anyway, yeah, people ask me, what do you do? And sometimes I don't come right out and say I'm a minister at times. I say I'm a healer. And they go, wow, tell me about it. I'm a teacher. Are you? Well, they're at college, so they go, wow, tell me, what do you teach? I teach life. Well, what kind of course is that? It's called the Bible. You see, if I come across, and one of the things we're going to talk about at the conference today is how do we begin to teach you how to stand boldly, but yet, and just to say things to get people's interest up, to where they want to say, what? Tell me about it. You don't have to say much. If you say it right, they're going to say, tell me about it. What's going on? And at that point, they've asked, so you tell them. But anyway, I regress to the third fear is unbelief. Romans chapter 4, verse 3. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness. Abraham believed in God, and it was credited to him for righteousness. How can we show God that we are living for him? By believing and trusting in him. Not fearing, believing and trusting. Listen to God's words in these scriptures. First, I'm just going to read these quickly. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Psalm 113, 2. How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And what is that sin? Many have speculated, but I believe it is fear. Lay it aside. How do you lay aside fear? By standing in the confidence of the Lord. Listen, I've had people who look at me and say, you know, I'm not a perfect person. I don't do things perfect. And you're asking me to witness to people about Jesus? Are you a Christian? If you're a Christian, you automatically are saying, I am not good, just by saying you're a Christian. My grace is not in me. My righteousness is not in me. I am righteous only through the blood of Jesus Christ. And hear me, when this says, as you stand there and look at your life, you realize that your life is non-condemned by God. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. How many of you have ever been at that point where you say, Satan says, you're not worthy. You're not good enough. And you stand there and go, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But you're evil. You do bad things. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You see, the Word of God has power that overcomes the fear within you. That was Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. There are people that are watching us. Did you know that? A cloud of witnesses means those. I believe he's accurate. I believe he's saying there are witnesses in heaven. My dad's watching me. Hey, I don't want to be weak when my dad's watching me. or my granddad or my great-granddad. I believe we are being watched, and I believe we can stay strong in Him. What is this sin that so easily besets us? I believe it is simple fear that Satan says, you're not worthy. You're not capable. You don't have the words. You're not a real outgoing person. It is the word of God and His promises we should fix in our eyes and on our hearts. You are either focusing on the enemy's lies or you are focusing on the Father's promises. How do we deal with this? How do we get victory? By speaking the truth in the face of situations. There are times that you are going to be called into the battlefield. And I think most situations where people are denying God and running from God, it's a battlefield. And there are explosions all around. It's a tough place to go. But God has called us to go. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God in pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. We have weapons of warfare. And the greatest is the things, the knowledge of God, the things of God, the Word of God, that can bring down all the strongholds. By the way, people have strongholds. Do you know what a stronghold is? It's a place that people have allowed Satan to set up in their life where they don't let God get near them. And it's the place that blocks God's work in their life. Now, some Christians have strongholds. And the Word of God here says that we have weapons. We need to bring every thought that goes in our minds under the captivity of obedience to Christ Jesus. Every thought, every thought. Have you ever sat down and realized how many thoughts you have a day? That's a lot. But it's the thoughts that you, where you sit there and you start saying, but what if? Anybody here ever done a what if? The what ifs are not the things that God wants us to be thinking. He wants us to bring those under His authority. But what will I say? What will I do? Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. And my God will meet all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Including your needs. That's not just talking about clothing and food. That's talking about your need for the moment. That's talking about your need for strength. That's talking about your need for sharing. That's talking about your need for every aspect of your life that it might be a testimony and a witness. Isaiah chapter 56, 17, no weapon forged against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. Listen, my friends, if you stand there and go, I don't know what to say to this person now. They just said that. I don't know. God is saying this. No weapon forged against you will prevail. No weapon formed forged. How many of you have ever worried about people at work? What they're going to say about you, what they're going to say to you. No weapon forged against you will prosper. Matthew 17, 20, for assuredly I say unto you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move here to there, or you will move it, and nothing will be impossible for you. Proverbs 3, 5 through 7, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. But what will I say? And I got one last scripture. Isaiah 54. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak. A word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning, and he awakens my ear to hear as the learned. I believe that if you give your life to the Lord and you say, I want to be a witness, and God calls you to be a witness,
what to do.